A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And through this belief, you will have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, every year on this Sunday, we have the reading about Doubting Thomas. Poor guy. For 2,000 years, all over the world, we've been reading this gospel. Kind of picked on this poor guy who wasn't there when Jesus first appeared. And ever since, he got the nickname Doubting Thomas. But it wasn't just because of this little event after the resurrection when he said, "I will not believe unless I put my finger into the nail marks." If you recall, at the Last Supper too, when Jesus said, "And in a little while I will go away from you, but do not worry, where I am going you know the way." And good old Doubting Thomas piped up and said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" He had a skeptical nature. Jesus replied in that moment at the Last Supper, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Thomas raises this question of what faith is all about. And what's the motive for our faith? And I think in the next couple of weeks, we ought to do some thinking about this as the new Pope is selected. It's almost amusing to see everybody in the media weighing in on the kind of Pope they think we should have. You know, there's an old saying, you know, in Rome, the fat Pope's guinea Pope. No. First you get a fat pope, the next one will be skinny. No. And after that, another fat pope, and then another skinny pope. No. And people say, "We need a fat pope. We need a skinny pope." No. You know, people will say, "We need somebody more traditional. Oh, we need somebody more in tune with the times." No. Those are very human, understandable feelings and emotions. But what the cardinals are gathering to do is select the man who would best lead the world to Jesus Christ. And that's what they're supposed to be discerning. You know, I think it was Pope Benedict who clarified, because some of us have the impression that whoever wins, well, that was God's choice, the Holy Spirit. Yeah. In a way it is, but it's not quite so simple. Pope Benedict clarified. He said, well, you know, these are 120 or 135 in this case this year, cardinals who take a vow and pray that they discern properly what the will of God is, and that they commit to choose the man that they, in conscience, think would be the best leader. But they're men who are making those decisions. And they'll do the best they can, I suppose. It won't be like the movie. Hopefully. No. And yeah, we put our trust and our faith in Francis or Benedict XVI or John Paul II or Pope Paul VI, Pope John XXIII, Pope Pius XII, before that, all the way back to the 40s and 50s. But why do we believe? Is it because he's a great speaker? He's funny? Is it because he's just very holy? Not really. No. We believe because faith comes from trusting in God. Faith is based on the authority of the person who's speaking. And we put our trust on a human level. That's the way human faith works. When we're dealing with supernatural things, that's the way supernatural faith works. No. Jesus says here in this reading from Revelation, or St. John had a vision, and Jesus says to him, do not be afraid. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the one who lives. I was dead, but now I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys to death and the netherworld. So write down, therefore, what you have seen and what is happening. In other words, Jesus reveals himself. And because he is the Alpha and the Omega, the Son of God, we put our trust in him. In that reading from the Acts of the Apostles, Peter's walking through the crowd, and everybody was struggling to get close to him because everyone knew he was the one that Jesus had appointed to lead the church. And they knew that he had miraculous powers, but they believed in his word because of the authority that he had that came from Jesus. And that's the motive for us to believe too. We believe the new Holy Father will lead the church because he has the authority that comes from Jesus to guide the church, to teach in the name of the Lord Jesus, to clarify, to be the one who guards the unity of the church and brings us all together in faith in Jesus Christ. It's important for us to distinguish that we don't believe just because, oh, what he says really makes sense to me. No, I kind of agree with him. He's on my side. No, not that. The motive is that Jesus has appointed him to lead his church. And we trust in that authority. We trust that the Holy Spirit's going to guide him. Popes are human. They make mistakes. A few of them have been really bad. But they've never contradicted the teaching of Jesus. They've never led the church astray in that sense. Maybe they had their own moral failings. But we trust that they'll lead us closer to Jesus. And I think it's important, too, when we go back to Thomas, doubting Thomas, when he realized that this was truly the risen Lord, he said, my Lord and my God. And each of those apostles who had that experience that Jesus was truly the Son of God, they went out and taught that. They went to the four corners of the earth. Tradition is that doubting Thomas went all the way to India and preach there. That's why there's such a great devotion to St. Thomas in the Indian subcontinent. Who knows if it's exactly true? We're not 100% sure, but it may be he got there. But they did great things. Most of them were martyred for the faith because they put all their trust in Jesus, because he is the way and the truth and the life. So let's pray for our church, too, that We can believe on the authority of Jesus, who's the Son of God. And we put our trust in the new Holy Father because he's the representative of Jesus. And he leads us to him.